52. It's good to be back. It's good to be worshiping the Lord together. Number 52. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. Sorry about the late start this morning. What's that? We got back around 4:30. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. Let us stand and sing this song together if you're physically able to. Worship the Lord today. Anything good in our life is from God. Yep. Anything bad in our life, anything evil, is from the devil himself. And so we've got to push out what is evil and give God the glory for all the good things He's doing in our life and praise Him. So let's sing that third verse. 52 on the third verse.
Great things He has taught us. Great things He has done.
Brother Hodge, would you lead us in prayer?
Yes, Lord, this morning we give you glory for this beautiful day that you have made. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we do have to be in church to worship you, Lord, and to fellowship with the saints. We ask your blessings, Lord, on the continuation of the summer school, both the singing and the study of your word. Teach what we learn and will apply those things that we have learned in our lives. Bless and guide those who are able to come to Him because of sickness or other situation, and to be with them, Lord, that they can meet us in our next meeting. Bless those who might be yet on the way to come in safely, and we ask, Lord, that you be glorified and your name be lifted up. And to you, Lord, we give the glory, praise and thanks. This we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Stay standing for our pledges. Come on up, pledge leaders. Help us with the American flag, the Christian flag, and the Bible. We say our pledges. We are thankful for what we have here in America, the freedom to be able to worship the Lord. And other countries are envious of what we have because they don't have it easy. They have to hide in order to go to church, or they have to secretly go in. So let us thank God for what we have. Let us start with the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Attention, Christian flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again, with life and liberty to all who believe.
Attention, Bible salute.
I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Thank you. You may be seated. Great job, young people. At this time we'll have our Sunday school offering as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings to God. Thankful for each gift that God gives to us, the ability to work, the ability to make a living, to be able to have monies to be able to use to support ourselves and our families. And every good gift is from God, who is and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Let us give to God willingly and cheerfully today. In return, He gives back to us and more. I ask our ushers to come at this time, and let us bow together in prayer.
Therefore, I take this day, take this offering you're about to receive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Any anniversaries or birthdays among us this morning? Any anniversaries or birthdays this week?
Yes.
Okay. So 45 years. And we might be able to sing to him tonight. She said he possibly is coming tonight. So let us pray that he can make it out so we can sing to Roy and Carol. What's that? Good. Excellent. Good job. All right. Any other announcements or any other birthdays, anniversaries? Okay. Hope your week was well the last 2 weeks. We missed you all here, and we're glad to be back. And we had a whirlwind tour of half of the United States driving out to Minnesota, but not the way you really want to do it, because just seeing it from the car. But it was at least we got to spend a week in Minnesota, so that was nice. And but we're glad to be back. We missed you all here. And Pastor Gearhart and their church send their love to you all here. All right, this time we will dismiss to our Sunday school classes. This time, who's doing the teens? Between Pastor Logan and. Who's been doing it lately?
Well,
you were up here, so you didn't do it. Okay. If you're available, if you're ready. Okay, that'd be great. That'd be great. Thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. August the 4th. Okay. All right, let us take the prayer requests. Who has prayer requests for us? Yes, Jimmy?
One of our staff that was sick today, again, sick today, waiting for the other staff to come to me.
Uh-oh.
Her name is Taniqua.
Taniqua, okay. All right, anyone else? Eric?
Pray for everybody in Anna, and I talked to my sister. Pretty soon I might go down there in the city to let God do this.
Yes. I heard Hannah had a birthday as well.
Yeah.
When was it? Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Oh, so you didn't raise your hand. Did they sing to you last Sunday?
Yes.
Or they sang to you Wednesday?
Wednesday, Sunday.
Oh, they. But I didn't get. We didn't get to sing to you, so now we got to sing to you again. She's.
No more.
Yeah. Did you have a nice birthday?
Yes, very nice.
Good. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Eric.
And your family too. And some of my brother. My brother John, he's sick.
Mm-hmm.
My brother.
Okay.
Gotcha. I pray for you guys. Take care of you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Hannah.
For the group, Latin group in Daycare Center, Atlantic Daycare Center, there were a lot of people there, 13. And in total was 22, so around 22. So that the next Wednesday we can invite the same people and were happy to hear in Spanish the gospel.
Amen.
Very nice.
Yes, my
family. Okay, I'm
very
cool. He was a good helper. He's now in Valencia.
Yes. He's in Valencia already.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, that sounds fast. So pray for Ezekiel as he gets back to the swing of things. So it was nice to have him here, and the church really enjoyed him.
Yes.
Amen. Patty. Okay. What's that? Oh, Trisha, yeah.
How's she doing? How they doing?
Patty?
Yeah, Trisha.
I don't know. They're coming or not.
Okay. Okay. All right, yeah, a couple of our kids had ear infections, so pray that they get better. All right, anyone else? How's everything at Your job. Is it good? The staffing pretty good? Good, wonderful. That's an answer to prayer then.
We have a lot of minors come September and we're going to deal with the staffing.
Yes. Alright. Let's pray for anyone else, yes. He has an upper respiratory infection. It's not pneumonia, but they discharged him. But they said if it gets worse, he's going to have to go to St. Christopher's Hospital, and they might have to do surgery on him. So, yeah. So it's whatever it is, it's dangerous. For especially a four-month-old baby. So pray for baby Grayson with his, he has an upper respiratory infection. They thought it was pneumonia, but his lungs are not fully working right, so they're wondering if they have to do surgery. So pray for baby Grayson. He comes on Wednesday nights, usually sits, his mom sits with him at the back there. So pray for him. Anyone else?
Pray for Miss Cat.
Okay, who's that?
It's Cat, one of my friends.
Okay. Alright, anyone else? Yes, Jimmy?
My stepdad still got the Lyme disease. He can't go out in this. He's so hot because it takes a lot out of him.
Okay.
His name's Ed Eby.
Ed Eby, okay. Okay, let us go to prayer. Also, pray for Carrie's sister's family. We have a chance to visit them, possibly coming up in August. And she looks like she's probably going to have another one of her sons. So she'll have two of her sons that are not saved. And we got to lead two of them to the Lord. So pray that if it be God's will, that we can go down there again and witness to two more of her sons. That's Sarah's sons, Alon, A-L-O-N, and Roy, R-O-I-Y, are their names. So pray for them to be saved. And then the other girl who's not saved yet is Gila, G-I-L-A. So if you can pray for these three children, they need the Lord. That's Carrie's niece and nephews. All right. Okay, wonderful. That's good. All right, let us go to prayer at this time. Does any would anybody like to pray with me? Okay, anybody?
I have one name, Miss Cat.
Miss Cat? Baby Grayson. He has an upper respiratory infection. And also for John Watkins, he's coming back from Texas. And then I'll pray for the rest. Alright, let us go to prayer at this time.
Dear God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer, Lord, that we can come to you, Lord, with our needs, our burdens, our concerns. And Father, at this moment, we pray for your needs that were mentioned and the different needs that we do have. We know, dear God, that you are touched by our infirmities that we have. Lord, we ask your healing touch on this cat. And we also pray for Aaron, that you will bring him to your saving grace.
Amen.
Along with Gail, we also pray that you will be with baby Grayson, that you will touch her heart, Lord, that she will get healed and get better, Lord, soon.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of being in church today. We thank you for bringing my family back safely from Minnesota. We thank you for the good time we had there with Carrie's dad, Grant, and being able to go to church there at her home church down there in Minnesota, Pastor Gearhart and Pastor Jason and the rest of the family. Lord, we thank you that the church is growing. We pray you just bless them as well, as they're about the size of our church, and bless them with the roof project as they had bad snow damage that caused the walls to come out a little bit and the roof to start caving, the trusses to start caving. Lord, we pray you just help the insurance company to fully cover all the expenses that are needed for the fixing and the repairs, and we pray that you just guide them and safely through that process, Lord. And we pray you just give them grace, guidance, and wisdom in this time of uncertainty. We pray you'd also be with Taniqua, who's sick. We pray for Eric's brothers, that you would help them with their whatever their needs are, and if any are not saved, that they would get saved. We think of Atlantic. We praise the Lord that 13 were there, and 22 as well, and this among the Spanish-speaking people, Lord, as they desperately need you in their life, and many of them are already saved, but they just lack a church service there. We pray that you'd raise up regular Spanish speakers to go there with us, so that they can be fed and also to be saved. And we pray also for Ezekiel as he is back in Spain. We pray you'd keep him safe there and help him as he goes to work, and pray that you would give him your wisdom and guidance on the next steps as he prepares for ministry. Pray that you just lead and guide and direct him, that you would show him exactly what you want him to do next. We pray you'd also be with John Watkins. You'd keep him safe as he comes back from Texas. We pray for Alice. You'd help her to be able to come out to church soon. Pray for Sharon Jones and whatever her needs are medically at this time. We pray that she is doing well. And we pray for Tricia and Evan and the family, that you just be with them and touch them and heal any that need healing. And we pray for Jimmy with his stepdad, Ed Eby, with the Lymes. We pray you just heal him. We pray that you would just bless, help him and Miss Kat as well. And we pray that you would provide staffing for this fall for Dominique's work, that you would just continue to give her wisdom, guidance, and strength as she makes decisions there and leadership as a leadership role. We pray you'd also be with Carrie's niece and nephews, that they would get saved. We think of Elon and Roey and Gila. Lord, we pray you just help them to be receptive to the gospel as we possibly go down there this month. And Lord, we pray that you'd open their hearts so that they could be saved and that they can see the difference in their sisters, Bathsheba and Savea, and the difference in the ones who are going forward for you, Lord, that they would see that and realize that it's not a external set of rules such as a cult provides, but it's an internal change of heart that only Jesus can give. We pray you'd help them to be saved. And pray, bless now this time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's turn to our Bibles as we continue looking at spiritual gifts. And we looked at speaking gifts. Now we're looking at serving gifts. Speaking gifts are often the ones that everybody wants, but not really always what people want. Yeah, that we do and we don't. Well, guess what? Serving gifts are wonderful as well. So we looked at these just to recap. The speaking gifts, we had teaching, exhortation, which is encouragers, people who love to be around people. That's an exhorter. They'll stop anything in the day for somebody. That's someone who's an exhorter. They're an encourager or a rebuker. Then we have pastor who also an evangelist, two offices,
Okay, now we're looking at the serving gifts. Serving gifts are important. They are the ones that keep the everything going. There's the ministry or service, which is in Romans 12. Romans 12.
And that is in verse 8 in Romans 12. Romans 12, and who would like to read verses 1 through 3 of Romans 12, verses 1 through 3? Okay, Dominique. Okay, verses 4, 5, and 6. Who'd like to read those for us? Patty? Okay, and who would like to read 7, 8? Who's there? Okay, Pat? Okay, so here we see some instructions for each gift and each gifting. Where we looked at ministering, which is the gift of serving, comes from the Greek word deacon, which means one who serves. It is readily apparent that whoever occupies the office of a deacon is to exhibit a servant's heart. The office of a deacon was established by the apostles in Acts 6. Though the term so those who have the gift of diaconing is not necessarily they're all deacons, because that would be limiting. But they function as a servant or someone who is helping assist the church, whatever area is needed. Sometimes it's needed serving tables, such as giving groceries or getting groceries for someone. Sometimes it's running an errand or doing a certain task. Sometimes it's fixing something or the mechanical skills to know how things work and put it together. The gift of ministering is a very important gift, because not everyone can fix things. Not everyone can serve things very well. Some people talk about it and they'll never do it, you know. How many ever been around those people? They'll talk about something until, you know, the cows come home. And they'll just keep talking about it and talking about it. But when push comes to shove, does it ever really get done? No, it's procrastinated. Why? Because, well, they're more of a talker. They probably have a speaking gift, but they don't have a serving gift. Okay, so we can appreciate those of us who may have it more closely to a serving gift, appreciate, you know, actual service being done, because if things don't get done, okay, if the lights didn't get turned on this morning, the air conditioners never got turned on, we'd be pretty stifling in here, you know. And so everything needs to get done, and the Lord helps us to get things done. So the gift of ministering is a very important gift because it helps keep everything going. It's just as important as these speaking gifts, just as important as the teacher, just as important as the exhorter or the encourager. You know, it's just as important as the pastor and evangelist. Some people get the idea, well, because I'm not up front speaking, I'm just a second-rate Christian. But you know what? If everyone were up speaking, there'd be no one to speak to, number one. But number two, nothing would really get done. Okay? So that's why the gift of ministering or service is so important. And so let us not de-emphasize something that is very important. If you're a more behind-the-scenes type of person, well, that you might have the gift of service. That's a great gift to have. It's good that not everyone wants to be up in front. Okay? It's important for people to want to be behind the scenes, because that's what gets done. Most of the things that get done behind the scenes. And so it's a very vital, vital gift. So here the encouragement that Paul gives to those with the gift of ministry, he says, let us wait on our ministering. What does that mean? Let us wait on our ministering. To those that have the gift of service, what does it mean to wait on our ministering? How many have ever gone to a restaurant before?
I did.
Okay. How many like being served by a waiter or waitress? You know, when you go to a restaurant. Okay. Especially if you go to a sit-down. How many would like to go to that sit-down restaurant and not have a waiter or waitress? How much food would you get if you didn't have a waiter or waitress at that sit-down restaurant? Can you go to the kitchen and say, hey, I need, I want a grand slam over here, they want a spaghetti with meatballs over there. You know, can you call into the chef and tell him, you know, and then say, oh, by the way, I'll be back in 20 minutes. I want it on the double. Oh, and get me a drink while... No, you can't. We can't go into the kitchen. We can't give orders to the cook. We can't write our slip. We can't, you know, once you go to a restaurant with a waiter or waitress, you sit down and you wait for them. Okay? They do the job of waiting on you. And that's what they get paid to do. Well, that's what the word is talking about here. Ministry. If you have the gift of ministry, service, let us wait on our ministry. Let us do it. Do it with gusto. Do it with joy, because that is a true gift. A true gift to give to someone is to wait on them, to serve, and by keeping the wheels being greased. And so it's so important that we don't ever de-emphasize the very important gift of service. It is so important. And so be encouraged that you are doing the most vital function of literally bringing out, just like that waiter or waitress has to bring the meals out. Well, nothing would get done if you're not doing your job. And so you have a very important job, and God is going to reward us accordingly. Is Jesus, when he hands out his rewards at the judgment seat, is Jesus going to, you know, say, oh, only the speakers, come on up if you're a pastor or if you're a teacher, come on up, you get the best rewards. No, he's going to say, I equipped you with this talent. And I equipped you with this gift. How did you use it for my glory? And he will then give us rewards based upon how we served him, how we used our serving gift, or how we used our giving gift, or how we used our exhortation gift. Okay, so it's based on our faithfulness to him. Okay, then we looked at the next one, which is giving. I won't belabor that one since we covered it last week. Someone who is a giver, they will give of time, talents, or possessions. or money to help someone who they think is a worthy cause. If you're not honest and if you're not doing things for God, guess what? Don't worry, the giver is not going to give to you. They are only looking for worthwhile investments. And so they want to give to where the needs are and to help keep things going for God. And that's the gift, that's the gift of giving. Okay, the next one is the gift of ruling. As we look in verse number 9, he that ruleth with diligence. The gift of ruling. That is, this gift is included in the list of serving gifts because Jesus himself noted that those who would be leaders must first learn to be servants. The word translated rule in Romans 12 conveys the picture of a leader who sets the direction and pace for a congregation. Those who have this gift provide valuable assistance to pastors if they serve humbly under the control of the Holy Spirit. Such leaders are also to function for the benefit and blessing of the congregation, not for the self-aggrandizement or personal power. Okay, that here we see a ruler is not necessarily the one in charge of the church, because the one in charge of the church is the head of the church is Christ. So he's the one ruling each local church, Christ. And then he has the under-shepherd under him, okay, that's the pastor-teacher. But then under the pastor-teacher, there needs to be some, at least one ruler or two rulers. And what are they to do? What's their function as a ruler? Okay, it doesn't mean they're the ones that carry the scepter and they have the kingly crown and all that. No, it just means that they are ones who help set direction and pace for a congregation. So, let's say, okay, the ministry efforts of the church. Well, they can help the pastor with are they being run efficiently and smoothly or not? Is there waste here? Or is there time being wasted? Or is there resources being wasted? Okay, well, let's do this more efficiently. Or let's manage the schedule more effectively by doing it this way. So rulers help organize and administrate. Okay, they can provide valuable assistance in the church in many different ways by helping keeping things flowing. Just like the server or the servant, the ministering gift helps keep the jobs going. You know, it keeps the different behind the scenes jobs moving. Well, the ruler helps set the pace as the different jobs get done. Okay, and so that they are helping provide valuable assistance to pastors if they serve humbly under the control of the Holy Spirit, not for the self-aggrandizement or personal power. Okay, how many ever met a Christian who was a good boss? You know, they administrated well. You know, they knew, okay, you go over to this. Okay, while they're doing that, you go over and do this over here. And you can just see how they were a good boss, you know. What do they have? Well, if they're not saved yet, they have the latent gift of ruling that needs to be activated by the Holy Spirit by getting saved. So if they're not saved, they're kind of using their gift if they would have it when they get saved. Okay, but if they are saved and they use it in the power of the Holy Spirit, then they have a great valuable asset to help set the pace and keep things going in the church. All right, any questions so far about any of these gifts? I don't want to lose you. I don't know if it's if anybody's tired or what, but I don't want to lose you. So, okay, so any questions so far about the serving gifts? Any questions, comments about the serving gifts so far? Okay. All right, let's keep moving. Okay, the instruction given to rulers here in Romans 12 and verse 8 is to rule with diligence. Okay, just like the server has to serve by waiting on people and waiting on the attention of different things that need their attention. Just like a waiter waits on a table, you know, the minister is exhorted to wait on their ministering, to do it well, to do it with joy, to do it with gusto, you know. How many of us can tell when you go into a restaurant and a waiter is burnt or a waitress is burnt out? How many can tell that? What are they normally doing as they wait on you burnt out? Maybe they work too many hours that week. Maybe they've carried a couple doubles. Maybe they're on their double as they're waiting on you. What are some things that come out? How can you tell? How can you tell? Danny, you had your hand up.
They're a little less friendly. They don't seem interested in whatever you're trying to ask about, for example, like give you the answer very shortly, very roughly. You can see the debates will be a little bit long. And the attention, you know, it only comes once or twice to your table, that's about it.
Okay, what's a way you try to encourage that waiter or waitress? What's that? Good. Ask them how they're doing. Hey, how you doing? Sometimes they just need to get something off their chest, you know, like, well, I'm pulling a double, and, oh, it's really stressful, we ran out of this item, and they'll kind of unload on you a little bit, but it's helpful, because then they get the weight off their shoulders, and someone actually cares for them, okay, and that helps relieve them, okay, or you could just not say anything, and just give them a bad tip, you know. Well, does it help them if you just do that? No, we want to try to help solve the problem. And of course, what's their greatest problem if they don't know Christ? Mr. Hodge, you were going to say something?
I was about to put it in the
mind. Okay. All right.
Yeah, most of the time, there's been nothing angry, but there's been, you know, not very excited about that.
Yes. Yes. So you can either be part of their bad day, or you can help change their bad day. And that's just like the Christian life with our gifting. You know, sometimes we get a little tired serving the Lord. Sometimes, you know, someone who has the gift of service. Well, I'm doing this task and that task. I'm getting a little tired. Well, one of the problems that comes in when we get tired is we're not spending enough time in the Word of God. If we're not being in the Word of God and not praying as we should, we're going to get tired in our gifting. Even if we're right in our gifting, we're doing what we're good at, we will get tired if we're not spending time in the Word. And that's why it's so important every morning to stay fresh, to keep fresh. As we serve the Lord, and as we go forward for God, and as we help our family, and support our family, and do whatever, we need to stay fresh by being in the Word of God each day. That will rejuvenate us, refresh us, and help us not ever to get burnt out, or to get tired of serving. Okay? And so here we see, that's what Paul's saying, let us wait on our ministering. He that exhorteth, on exhortation. Hey, if you're an exhorter, if you're an encourager, exhort. Come alongside. That word literally means parakaleo. Come alongside and call out to them. Hey, how you doing? You know, to do it with joy. Because when we use our gift, that's when we feel the most useful in life. When we use our gift, that's when we are the most happy and joyful. When we read the Word of God and pray and start our day with God and then we use our gift, that's when the day we feel connected to God. Why? Because we're being useful for God and doing what we can for others and trying to witness along the way and trying to help people along the way. And so let us wait on our ministry. Let us exhort. Let us, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. In other words, do it with a single heart for the Lord. Don't do it for what you can get out of it. If a giver, they don't want people to know who usually gave the gift. Why? Because they're not out. It's not out for them to get the acclamation. And they know very specifically, givers know very specifically what Jesus says about giving. Jesus said, let not your left hand know what your right hand doeth. You know, so if you talk to givers, a fun thing that I like to do is as I meet Christians, I like to say, oh, now, as I see them serving the Lord, I like to identify what their gift is. You know, sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong. But givers usually stand out in the fact that they don't want anyone to know that they're giving this. They don't want anyone to know. And why? Because they take it very seriously what Jesus said, let not your left hand know what your right hand doeth. And so they don't want to lose their reward here on earth by getting acclamation for it. Because they know in heaven they're not going to have a reward anymore. Because they already got their praise here on earth. If somebody knows about it. Okay, and so we need to have that same mindset with our gifting, that let us give with a single heart. Use our gift with a single heart, serving the Lord. He that ruleth with diligence. So those rulers, the ones that are good bosses, good pace setters for the congregation. Okay, hey, these jobs are going well. Good job over here. You're doing this and you're doing that and this is getting done over here. Good job. You know, let the rulers do it with diligence. They are to be diligent. They're to be watching to make sure it gets done right. And they're going to be helping at times. And they're going to be doing. And they're going to make sure the job gets done. That's because they're setting the pace and helping to get big jobs done. And then the last one, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Here's another serving gift. Is the mercy gifting. The mercy gifting is a very important gift as well, because this is the heart of the group. This is helps set the emotional tone of the church. The mercy giftings. If there's not a heart of love for people in the church, what are unsaved people going to do when they walk into a church? They're going to come in, they're going to say, ooh, this is a rough crowd. No one really cares about me. No one's talking to me. Okay, the service ends, they walk right out, and they don't ever come back in again. So the gift of mercy helps, hey, oh, hey, how you doing? Hey, oh, do you feel welcome here? Can I help you with anything? They're wanting to get to the heart of the person, to let them know that they love them and that they care about what they're going through. And if they have any prayer requests, you know, if someone says, hey, I have a prayer need of this, you know, someone with the gift of mercy is going to immediately be bonding with them or tying to them by saying, hey, I'll pray for that. That's so important. I realize how important that is. My dad, he had the gift, I believe, of mercy, that he took special care with, you know, with people. And you know, he could go up to a complete stranger and shake their hand and talk with them for a few minutes, and boom, they would be his friend for life. You know, how is that possible? Well, because he had that gift of mercy, of showing love and compassion and caring for people. When they're down and out, you know, he didn't give up on them. When they were struggling, he didn't give up on them. He's loyal to them. That's the gift of mercy. That's showing a heart and a compassion for people, because that's what people need. They need to see our love for them before they can see God's love for them. You know, so if you and I are showing our love for them first, then guess what? They're going to see God's love for them. Yes, Eric.
Well, you know, I give to other people, like one little girl didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
I bought her something, and I was talking to the mom, and the mom said, I said, she didn't have no money.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, that's the year for life for people for that, because you'll get your blessings for that.
Yes, yes, that's good. All right, so the gift of mercy is a great asset in ministering to the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of believers. By its very title, the gift is welcome in times of illness or bereavement. Such gifted individuals do much to encourage and bless the lives of those who are hospitalized, shut in, or working through the sadness and sorrow of a death of a loved one. Okay, that they especially are needed during those times to comfort, console. And someone with the gift of mercy will stop everything they're doing to help someone in the time of bereavement. They come out of the woodwork at funerals. You can tell the mercy givers because they're the ones usually surrounding. And of course, other gifts will also help with that as well. As we get more well-rounded as a Christian, we should exhibit the gift of mercy very readily and immediately to those who need that gift. And the more we get close to Jesus, the more we'll be able to exhibit the gifts that we are not necessarily gifted with. Okay? That it's not our first gifting, but it's something that we can do. Okay? And to help explain it, I like to use the wheel of the seven gifts. Okay? You have the prophecy, which is your speaker first, right and wrong, all those things. Then you have your teacher. It's servant. Server. Then your teacher. Then your exhorter. No, is it giver? Prophecy, ministry, teaching,
exhortation.
Yep.
Exhorter. Giver, then mercy. Okay, so as you look at the wheel, you say, well, I think I have a few of these gifts. You know, I like to serve, and I'm also very interested in right and wrong. I like speaking about right and wrong, and I also like teaching. Well, that's because you have the gift of serving. And so you're kind of overlapping a little bit because you're right next to those gifts. Okay, someone who's an exhorter. They're very good with encouraging people and at times rebuking people as needed, but they can also teach. And they can also give. They're not afraid of giving to people because they know when they give, they're giving to God and they understand those principles. The more we get well-rounded as a Christian, the more we are spirit-filled, the more we'll be able to branch out more and exhibit all seven gifts. But we only have one. But the what's on either side of us will also come out because it's right next to our main primary, our gifting. Okay, I don't know if that makes sense or not. But you only have one, but you can show the other signs of the others as you are spirit led and spirit filled. Okay, so hopefully that makes sense a little bit. So if you're a teacher, you'll probably have a good bit of service in you and a good bit of exhortation in you. If you're in the prophecy, you like to speak, well, you'll probably have a lot of mercy and you'll have a lot of service too, because that's on either side of your gifting. if two people get married, two Christians get married, and they're on the opposite sides of the spectrum, okay, let's say one's a giver, one's a servant, where will the children be? Well, you're probably going to have a child as a teacher. You're probably going to have an exhorter. You might have a giver. You might have a servant. You know, if you're on opposite sides, they could have any one of the gifts. But if they're right next to each other, sometimes you have people that get married and they have the same exact gifts. As it says, you know, opposites attract, and so do likenesses attract too. Okay, and so I know some Christians who are both givers. And guess what? Their kids will probably be a giver. Or an exhorter or a mercy person. Okay? Sometimes they go out of that. So, but that's just how it works, because that's how God gifts
That's what he wants to do to us. He wants us to be well-rounded, and but yet he gives us one gift. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to look into your word this morning, to be reminded of the great asset that we have in the Christian life, the great way that we can help others, the great way we can serve you and one day get possibly a crown if we are faithful in our service to you, in our love for you, in our obedience to you. Lord, help us to not take these things lightly, but let us to be re-energizing every day by transforming our mind through the power of the Word of God each day and prayer, that we would depend on your power, not on our own strength, as we serve you daily, and that we would not get burnt out as a result of staying out of your Word and out of prayer and out of church, but that we would stay energized by staying close to you in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we only have 7 minutes.